Today at the Becoming Unique podcast, I have such a beautiful soul here by the name of Yanni. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So before we even get today's show started, you got to let everybody know who is Yanni.
So I have a past. I think everybody know that. I think everybody has a story, and my story was not the friendliest story. I was dealt with some very difficult cards that I had to deal with in life. I came from a single mom that didn't know how to really raise a child. There's no handbook on raising kids, so me being the first of hers, it was difficult for her to actually be a mom in the beginning. She did try her best, but I was mentally and emotionally abused during that time. I didn't really have a father figure growing up. The one that I did have abused me. My biological father abused me when I went to go live with him around my high school years. So after that, I develop a lot of identity crisis, a lot of trying to find my purpose, trying to find out where I belong in this world. Really had it really bad off until I went to high school. I never really stayed in a school more than a year or two. So once I got to high school, I was really an aggressive, angry child who really thought the world owed her a lot because she didn't really understand why she had two parents who didn't really love on her the way she was meant to be loved on. And at school didn't really make it any better because I was being bullied a lot about anything about me that I probably possibly couldn't control. My long hair, the way I walk, the way I talk, the clothes I had on, I was just being bullied all the way around. So it left me being a very lonely child, very aggressive, angry, lonely child. I didn't really get friends until I settled a good foundation in high school where I started getting friends. Before that, I already had many because I kept moving from place to place. So my social circle was really bare minimum, unless it was my mom or my youngest sister or friends along the way through my mom's friends. But my social circle was very lonely and isolated. It wasn't until high school, when I started making friends, that I realized that I had purpose, the purpose that I've been looking for. And that purpose was for me to help others using my story, to cultivate change for them. And the way I found out I was able to do that was when they'll come to me with, to vent, I would have a story or two to tell them. And I brought them together to not feel depressed or anxiety or be lonely because they had a friend in me, someone who understood what they've been through, someone who had a broken home, someone who has been bullied, someone who tried to find their identity, are lost or depressed. I started creating friends through my pain. I questioned it in a good way that maybe this was meant for me to go through the things I have to go through to help others. Hence, in 2024, after I graduated college from my BSW, in 2024, years later, I created a business called Relentless Phoenix, where it's all about helping others manifest their purpose in life and what they want to be in life and really be authentic and be a creator of their own story and find their purpose and believe that it can be more than what they see in their past or what their reality is showing them. I started a coaching business in 2022, and now I am a keynote speaker because I feel as though my story needs to be told more than just in a coaching session. I want to tell my story in hopes that there are others, men, women, whatever, that can relate to my story and try to use my story as a lesson or get some wisdom from it, because I do believe that my purpose is on earth is to help others get from where they want to be to where they want to become.
Okay, well, thank you. That was definitely a lot. Well, I'm so grateful that you are at the place that you are at today and that you have worked through the darkness that you seem to have started out with, and you have, it seems like from what you told us that you're making it to the light at the end of the tunnel. And I have a question about when you were younger, because a lot of time you said you were mentally and emotionally abused. Did you even know you were being mentally, when did you discover that this was happening? Because a lot of times we're in, this is all we know. We only know abuse. So we don't know that we're mentally and emotionally abused until, 40 years later, and it's like, that wasn't right. Oh, I was always in them fights. Didn't necessarily always notice it until, like when we're in the storm, we don't know that there's sunshine out there. So at what point did you realize that you were
Well,
mentally and emotionally abused? Because at that time, it was your normal.
I didn't know when I was younger. I when I was younger, I thought that the older generation, because I was told that they're my elders, I thought that they knew what they were talking about. What my biological father, the one who abused me, he said that I wasn't going to amount to anything, that I wasn't going to graduate college, that I wasn't going to graduate high school, that I was going to have cr kids crazy before I even attempt to even get into high school. My mom said I don't really know much of anything out there in the world, so it kind of dumbed down my intelligence that I felt I thought I had. It wasn't until I started get into a lot of fights in school. I started questioning my anger, like why I'm so angry. I started self-sabotaging myself, and it wasn't until I got to college where I took a several seats back in college, and questioned a lot of things that happened to me in the past. Because what I found out through my anger, through my self-sabotage, that the voices within my head were from them, or from the bullies, or from whoever else that wasn't pouring into me. And when I was in college, I was reading something in school, in college, and I got really overly frustrated, with what I was feeling. I was feeling like I wasn't going to graduate. That's what I was feeling, and I was going to drop out. In my fourth year, I had 5 years at Rutgers, but my fourth year, I was going to drop out because all those negative thoughts that was in my head, telling me that I wasn't going to be able to finish, telling me that why should I try? I'm not going to amount to anything. These were chained to my thoughts, like it was my own thoughts. And I started crying. And when I started crying, I heard a voice say, "You can do it." And it stopped my tears right in its track. And I repeated it out loud, and I said, "I can do it." And that moment right there was for me. Was epiphany for me, because once I repeated back to myself, "I can do it," it was like a aha moment. It was like, I have done it. I have been negatively told that I wasn't going to amount to anything, but I graduated college with I graduated high school with a 3.0. Here I am in college, 4 years in. No one's forcing me to stay in here. I'm passing with a 3.0. I'm still with a B average. No one's forcing me to stay here, so I am doing it. So when I started thinking about everything in my past up until that point, I was like, I am holding on to all of that negative abuse. And that's when it hit me. From college, when I was questioning my anger and my aggression, up until that point, I was really questioning why I felt the way I felt. And it wasn't until college when I had that aha moment, and I was like, wow, I have been abused. I have been emotionally, mentally abused. Because now I don't even know if those thoughts are mine. And when I started challenging them, I realized they wasn't mine, because like I said, I look back at my life, I made it. I told the never know. I got up. I took that first step. So those thoughts, I realized it wasn't mine. So I started separating and really going back into my childhood, and discovered that most of what I was going through or feeling wasn't deriving from me or my own thoughts. It was from my mom, or from my biological father, or from, being bullied. So then I started realizing that it was abusive what I was doing to myself, because I was allowing what they said, to infiltrate my peace of mind. And when I started looking into getting help and therapy and all that kind of stuff, I was told that I had borderline personality disorder, and all of what I was going through was around from my childhood. So I started challenging a lot of my thoughts to realize that half of what I was feeling wasn't coming from me, and it was coming from those that was negatively pouring into me.
Wow, I really applaud you. I applaud you for, getting in tune with this at such a young age. A lot of times, it takes people much longer than their early 20s to really discover this. Like they kind of go through like a cycle of things happening and just not knowing, knowing why. Because like I said, when you're in the storm and off, that's all you know. you kind of seem to just always repeat those situations
Same
and
sex as
you
well.
having that aha moment. Was there like, what were you studying? Were you taking psychology courses? Like, what were you, was there anything to help you help influence the language and understanding that this, you know, this was nothing about you. This was about the ones around you that has, you know, infiltrated your spirit? Or was there counseling? Was there a school counselor? There was, or it was just you had an instant aha moment?
So, I wasn't really studying anything pertaining to mental health. It was totally just based on history and social. It was just based on the regular curriculum that I was getting at Rutgers. It was just difficult for me to do it, so I had broken down. Several times throughout my life, it might sound crazy, but I do hear voices that speaks to me internally. And I have learned to lean into that because I feel like that's my intuition, that's my gut, that's something inside of me that's probably my own voice, probably in the distant future, that's been talking to me. And
The highest
I'm very
self.
I'm a yeah, yeah,
It's your highest
exactly.
self.
Exactly. So you get it. Exactly. I get embarrassed by that because, you know, everyone be like, well, you know, if you hear them voices, you're crazy. Maybe I am. I don't know, but it's definitely helped me get through those moments in my life. I had several of those moments, but it was basically just me. I didn't really have leaders. I call them fake leaders. I had mentors, but like I said, these mentors try to change me to fit who they wanted. Who they wanted or who they felt as though I should become. And what happened was I kept feeling like it was like this wave kept coming over me in college, and I kept on trying to challenge every wave I felt. And it wasn't easy because challenging your negative thoughts, it can pull up a lot of stuff because you're trying to get to the root of where that came from. So with me in college, I kept challenging what I was thinking, what I was believing, to get me to this point of having wisdom. Because when you start to really look inside of yourself and see some of those behaviors that you have deriving from something that has nothing to do with you, your childhood, your adult life, an event that happened to you that scarred you, that you didn't think that scarred you that bad, and it came with you to your adult life. So with me, I definitely challenged every thought I had in college. Even up to this day, there are certain things that come back from my childhood that I have to challenge because I know those are not my thoughts. I see how far I became and what I'm doing right now. So when those negative thoughts come up, I just keep re-challenging them. I mean, that's how I got here. No one really helped me. I did have therapy, but therapy was not helping me. They was quick to just label me multiple times and without really getting down to the root of it. Or they wanted to push pills, which I wasn't really for. Pills made me feel weird. So I stopped therapy all along. It was just basically me throughout my life, really sitting down with myself, being honest and authentic with myself, and talking to myself through those emotions that I feel and really challenge those.
Wow, that's so beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful that you really like the subtitle on my book is You Hold the Key to Your Life's Journey. And you know, I really, and I speak about that through almost every episode of this podcast, is that you know, you hold the power to you. And like you said, you know, you were able to see through what people like diagnosis that they may have wanted to try to give you know, very quickly, and you know, and not really knowing the whole truth of everything that's going on. So it's absolutely beautiful that you were able to tune into your intuition so young, which is your higher self, that inside voice that we all have. No one's missing this voice. We all have the voice.
I'm distracted.
Are we deciding to listen to the voice? And then it sounds like you were doing a lot of shadow work. You were facing things when they came forward to you. So that is so amazing that all of this
So
happened early on for you, and you seem like you're clear about it. Because like I said, a lot of times we like a situation after situation after situation keeps going on and it keeps repeating itself, and you seem like you had got your hands on the wheel so quickly, so quickly.
yeah, so in the beginning, I didn't. I was really self-sabotaging myself because I had this victimhood mentality, because I really didn't have any spiritual or religious foundation, a strong one when I was little. And it for me now, looking back, it bothers me that I didn't have that, because if I believe that if I had some type of strong foundation to really pull myself forward, I wouldn't have went through the things that I my thought process and my behaviors, I would it would have been different. But I don't regret it, because I'm here and I'm not scarred. I'm still smiling through all of it. But in the beginning, it was a lot of self-sabotage, because I didn't understand why me. Like, I really didn't understand why me. All I knew was that I had a purpose, and I kept that in the back of my head that I had a purpose for this, because God can't just leave me with these deck of cards and not explain why I have them. That's I really strongly believe that, and I still do to this day. So when I had to force myself to stop sabotaging, that was the hardest thing. Forcing yourself to stop some of the behaviors that you are so familiar with is hard. And it opens doors to new avenues, new personality, and quite frankly, arguably, who you're supposed to be originally if you didn't have those issues. So it feels great now to have the wisdom behind, really sitting with yourself and talking to yourself about it. Because when I say I love myself now, I deeply do mean that, because I didn't before, and it took a lot, and it takes a lot for anyone to challenge all of your thoughts, every last single one of them, and learn from it.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes is life is not happening to you, it's happening for
Oh.
you. We think back like, oh, if I went this way, if I didn't do it this, or if that didn't happen to me. But we have to, embody it all and just be like, life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. And that quote is just so powerful to me. And I love to say it to so many people when they tell me their story, like, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Like, and I'm like, life is not happening for you. It's ha happening to you. It's happening for you. So
Yeah.
these battles, like every day, and I like to compare it to the weather. Every day cannot be a beautiful 75 degrees. It can't. Like, and if it was, we
Yeah.
might be grateful for it to be 75, beautiful 70. It, we in living here in the Northeast, we get all of the seasons. So we really get to experience some snow and the cold, the wind, the rain. And then it just makes us even more grateful for when those beautiful days come. But that's, in reality, life just doesn't work like, and that's the thing we have to let go of, is just like thinking that, oh, why is this happening to me? It's
Yeah, and
happening
that's a
stronger.
exactly. And you made a very good point when we say we want this perfect utopia life. We're humans. We have flaws. We have the little devil, and we have a little angel. Like, we have a balance to us, and we can't have everything to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect human. That's kind of like an oxymoron. So we definitely have to come to terms with that first, before we can be okay with what comes next, with which, like I said, is life. We have to be okay with the trials and the errors of life, and give ourselves grace and love when it comes.
Beautiful. You talk a lot about forgiveness. So tell me, what's your definition of forgiveness? How did you come to forgiveness in your story? Like, what's forgiveness? Tell me what you want to tell me about forgiveness.
So I'll tell you why I love forgiveness so much, and then I'll tell you the definition of forgiveness. The forgiveness is not for the other individual. Forgiveness is for yourself. They're good with what they've done to you, because I personally believe that anyone who actually intentionally harmed you was intentional about it. And they're not thinking about how much they harm you, otherwise they wouldn't have done it in the first place. Forgiveness is forgiving the other individual. And I had to learn that the very hard way. Like I said, I was angry. I was angry with the world for how the world treated me. I was mad at anyone that came at me just being pleasant. Like, my guard was up because of what I dealt with, and I didn't let nobody in. My mom came to me, and she vented about her life, and I had to take a several seats back and realize that I was looking at my mom grow up to be a adult or adulting. I was looking at a child. When I was getting raised up by my mom was still a child. So she didn't have no type of clue of what to do. So I had to listen to her story and use empathy, because what happens is we feel like someone wronged us, and because it was an intentional in that moment, it may not be intentional in their thought. They may not know how hurt you truly were. And when I spoke up to my mom about that, she apologized deeply for that. And when she was telling me her stories, about how she was getting raised, she said she didn't really have the best version of what a mom looks like. So she couldn't follow anything. She had no type of grounds to follow anything. So she did what she thought was best for her at that moment, with the cards that she was dealt with, the knowledge that she was dealt with. And I had to forgive not only my mom, but forgive myself for putting such a burden on my mom, the belief that she had to be perfect. My mom was not perfect. Were there things that could have been better? Absolutely, especially the emotional and the mental abuse. You know, telling me that I'm smart rather than saying I don't know. You know, there were certain things that she could have done differently. But I can't knock someone for wanting to start over, because that means they're taking accountability, and you have to give them that room to see if they want. If they say they want to start over with you, you have to give them that room. Depending, there's measurable things, like measurable things that may be unforgiven, may be unforgiven. But for my mom, for me and our relationship, there was a need for me to forgive her, because I put a burden on her that she couldn't bear. And I had to forgive. A lot of individuals like that, because they come from stories too. And although I'm a moment in time in their story, they still have a journey to walk. And my mom had a journey to walk, and she reached a point in her journey where she can look back and say, I messed up. I apologize to you. And she didn't just sugarcoat it. She actually broke it down why she messed up and how she wronged me. So I know from my mom's perspective that that she really meant what she felt, and her need to start over. However, situation like my biological father, we don't have a relationship. It's not that I don't forgive him, because I do. I have to forgive him. Like I said, I'm explaining the definition of forgiveness so you can understand why I forgave him. I forgave him. He too had some issues in his past. Does it mean that what he did to me was right? Heck no, it's not. And I think that's what we get confused. We have to forgive for us. We're holding on to that pain. We have to forgive for us. Yes, he was wrong, but it's a difference between forgiving and forgetting. I won't ever forget what individuals did. I'm not stupid. You're not about to play me, but I am going to forgive you because you're human. I want forgiveness because I intentionally hurt you, and I want to start all over again to make amends. I would like that same courtesy, as I want to give someone else. And that's throughout my life when it comes to forgiveness. I have to give that opportunity to do that. When it comes down to forgiveness, definition of forgiveness for me, forgiveness is a release of anything that threatens your emotional, mental, physical, or sexual state in order to promote and cultivate a healthy mindset and reality. So I had to forgive individuals for what they did to me. For my own self, I had to do that because I wanted a healthy mindset. I don't want to cry because of something happened to me 5 years ago. I had to let it go. My reality is based on my perception, and I keep perceiving that there's a threat, there's a harm that they're going to do to me. I'm still going to be in shame. They're not. It happened 5 years ago. It happened 10 years ago. It happened, I don't know, 2 days ago. You're going to be the one to cost yourself your mind, your healthy mindset, and your reality that you should be focusing on now, because of you're not forgiven. So I have to forgive because I want a healthy mindset, and I want to promote my a healthy reality.
Forgiveness is really key to so much in life. And, I can't even think of the quote, but I feel like most of us probably have heard it. It's a couple of quotes in reference to forgiveness, but all grudges, You holding on to the, you know, what someone did to you is like you just carrying luggage everywhere you go. Like how, like why are you gonna be bound, you know, hold this, hold you down? Like you can't move as fast as you can in life if you're holding on to all the luggage of the past. And I definitely want to speak with so much compassion because all of us are walking differently through life. For some of us, it may be easy for forgiveness, and for others, it may be a little bit more difficult. I like to tell people a lot of times that, you know, a lot of times when people do something to you, it's really not, it has nothing to do with you.
Nothing,
It's
nothing to do
everything
with
that
you.
has to do with them. And 99, most of the time, people don't even know what they're doing. You know, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know the damage that they're doing. They and honestly, it, like a lot of times, even though it may seem so horrible, that particular person was doing the best that they could in that very moment.
Moment.
You know, and then you know, the downfall about a lot, you know, sometimes we put ourselves in this comparison box. Oh, well, why isn't she he treating me like her that relationship, or why is my relationship doesn't look like that? And then we're putting thinking we're comparing ourselves to someone else that is completely different from us and thinking that everything's supposed to show up that way. So then the people that's involved with us, if they're not acting like TV tells us they're supposed to act, they didn't go and get the, you know, 12 dozen roses for on Valentine's Day, and
Yeah,
they
they
get you.
don't love me.
Yeah, they get you a gift. It's unforgivable. As much as I did for them, and they couldn't even think of me for Valentine's Day. And then now they're holding a grudge. They're not being forgiving. And this is just a very lighthearted example. Of course, I know a lot of us went through bigger struggles than not getting a dozen of roses for Valentine's Day. But I'm just saying how easy it is to just really hold on to that grudge. The other day I was at the post office. I was waiting in line. I'm in the post office in New York City. In New York City, some people don't have, you know, Amazon's everywhere. So if you maybe live in a building where Amazon pack, you know, you may have Amazon packages may have pirates that take them. You may reroute your Amazon packages or to the post office, or the post office may keep it there if you wasn't home, or any package. I'm saying Amazon. I don't even know if it was Amazon, whatever package this woman had. So I guess she had a ticket to come pick up her package. And it seemed like the gentleman, it was a long line, so I got to see this whole thing play out. It seems like the person that was helping her couldn't find the package. So then now another postal person, or you know, she went and found the package. And so then now this woman is yelling, "See, you don't know what you're doing." She has so much venom and anger coming out at this man, belittling him, talking him down. "Yeah, you only treat us right," and da 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 da. And so then now when
It
the
comes.
to the side, she opens the door to hand her the package. She was like, "Yo," you know, she tried, she was like, "See, that's why," you know, she was showing the sister, the other black woman love, like, "See, thank you so much. He don't know what he doing." Da, da, da. And so then the other postal woman, she was like, "Oh, you know, it what the computer said it was here. It, you know, I looked at the computer and said it was in this location, and that's where he was looking." She was kind of like, she was playing both sides. She was being compassionate to the young woman in front of her, and she was also, you know, letting her know, like bringing awareness that, you know, it said this, he looked over there, but unfortunately,
Confusion.
I don't know why they had it in this mystery corner of the
Place.
bathroom, you know. But the woman couldn't hear her. I heard the postal lady, and she was beautiful in the love and compassion. Like she was definitely a well, you know, the postal woman. I could see she was like a well-rounded woman in her, like, in her mental health type of compassion and wellness. So, because she wasn't like, "Yeah, I don't know what his problem. He always doing that," you know, because sometimes people can feed into that. But she tried to help the woman understand, like, you know, but the computer said this, you know, you know, he did look, it wasn't there, and you know, but I don't know why it was in this corner. She takes it, and now the woman is still going off. She takes the package. "Oh, you know, down you right, that's why I'm not coming." Da, 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 da. And so then I was like, "Wow." I said, and then I thought, I said, "Wow, you know, it's no judgment at all." I said, "She's going to take this energy down the block to our house. She's going to get on the phone. She's going to tell her friends about how disrespectful the post office person was. And then she's going to ask, And I can see her that, and every time she comes to the post office for like say the next month, she's gonna be like, I don't want him to help me. Now
Right? Also, just a confusion.
yeah, just the confusion. And I was like, wow, like it was so many, it was so many messages I got from that. I'm like, being angry at this man is stopping you. It's
Yes.
stopping you. And
Yes.
you never know what blessings are waiting for you. But if you're stuck in this energy of being angry at this man, because you could walk out, there could be a blessing for you outside. You could walk outside and someone's willing, you could be,
Yes.
if your energy is open, someone could be have, stop you and ask you for the time. And then now you start a conversation because you're open. And then all of a sudden you meet the person and they have a job for you. Who knows? You keep your energy open, but her energy was stuck in
Yeah.
something that she felt, how she felt she was disrespected. She felt that that postal worker disrespected her. And I already felt, I said, wow, she's gonna take this with her to bed. She's gonna sleep on this. She's gonna, and who is it doing it to? And I'm sure the postal worker is so used to people. He's just, at this point, he's probably bulletproof. He don't even pay it no mind because they're so used to yelling at them. So he ain't even thinking about her no more,
Not at all.
not at all. But yet she is now, like, it could be an opportunity, like, for her to, like, win in so many different parts of her life, possibly, if she's looking to go in that direction. But you can't move forward if now the only thing you could talk is about how you think someone disrespected you. So I just thought of that example as a reminder, and that's like a small little example, but for many of us, we have way bigger things than someone not finding our package in an ample amount of time happened to us. And then now for decades, we are carrying, like, I don't like her. I don't like that she did that to me, and stuff like that. And we may be a little giggly and stuff right now, but I do hold compassion and understanding that, this is bigger than a little chuckles and stuff like that. I just wanted to give that story so we could have understanding on, like, wow, yeah, just move forward. Not just move forward, but consider what it would be like to not hold on to that. For us, like, because I think it's almost like, I think, like an epidemic where a lot of us are not forgiving out there. We don't go around
You miss
forgiving.
your blessings. You miss all your blessings by not forgiving. You really think your anger is causing somebody else harm. Those are your emotions. Your anger don't have a dagger that you're gonna stab in somebody's heart, because the stronger you look at them, the more they feel it. That's metaphorically. You're not going to hurt someone with your anger unless you actually act on it. But you spitting fire and being angry at an individual, you're only hurting yourself. You're going to be now, you can't be happy right now because you're so angry. Now you probably missed a blessing. You probably missed your whole day is messed up now, all for this one moment in time. Just messed your whole day up, and you could have had a beautiful, blessed day. Even if it was raining outside, your perception of how you see everything could have been so beautiful that the rain outside could have been like, hey, I love it. But because you want to be so angry, now you have a negative mindset, and that energy is put out there like a transmitter. If you keep on having that energy put out there, you're going to keep on being a magnet to negative energy. It's better to put out positive energy so you can receive some type of grace, some type of blessing.
I mean, I agree so much, but I have to also say, I know a lot of times I'm happy that we're able to have this conversations, and hopefully it lands on the ears that it needs to land on it, because a lot of times we're unaware. We're unaware. That woman was completely unaware of what was
Unaware.
happening. And even if one of us, it just says that postal woman tried to explain to her and let her see, she couldn't see anything at that time. And it takes a moment in time when you're out of that energy to understand, like, ooh, do I act like that? And stuff like
Yep.
that. And it's like, I remember a woman probably about 13 years ago. I remember my younger daughter was a toddler at that time, and she was on a play date with a friend. And I don't know what I said about myself, but I said something probably negative. And she said, "Why do you do that?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She was like, "You, it's like every time I give you a compliment, it's like self supplication. I feel like I'm saying the wrong my tongue is. I was like,
Yeah.
what is that? I said, what are you talking
Yeah.
about? She was like, it's like you can't take a compliment. You like rip it apart. You take it down. Like, why do you do that to yourself? I had no idea I was doing it. And I constantly think back to that, you know, like, oh, you know, I at that time, and I remember she said it. It was like a seed was planted, but I didn't make any corrections at that time. I now that I'm in the place now, what now that I have had the opportunity to evolve, you know, now I'm able to look back and be like, wow, she really said that to me 13 years ago, and I couldn't see it at that time. You know, and that's the same thing with like forgiveness. You know, a lot of times, you know, we could be trying to say something and people may be warning you throughout the years, but you know, sometimes it's just that one little straw that will break the camel's back. Not
Yeah,
sure.
we get distracted, when it comes to making everything about everything personal. And we have to stop being external and believing everything that happened to us. Like you said, it happened to us. And it's like it didn't happen to you. You just planted in that moment for a lifetime, for a season, for a learning experience, for something in that moment. You was planted there for that moment. Therefore, that was meant to happen, but it wasn't meant to happen directly to you to cause you harm. It was just to grow or cultivate or transmit something in that moment. And you were just that individual. Could have been somebody else, but the universe chose you to be in that moment. So you have to be internal and just understand, hey, why is this moment being presented to me in this way? Okay, let me take a step back. This lady is trying to talk to me about a confusion. Let me take a step back and listen to what she has to say. Maybe that was your moment to learn to shut your mouth up and just listen so you can comprehend something. Maybe. Or maybe it was a moment for you to learn to stop being angry at a situation that was so small. But every moment that you're in is for a reason. And you just have to take a step back internally and digest that moment. You can even do it in that moment. You just have to practice. It's hard to practice when you want to just at somebody, but taking a moment to breathe and internalize what's going on, that's the best way to understand why you was in that moment.
Yeah, and then you know, one of the I'm not gonna say I say this quote a lot, but I use this quote a lot, and it's, you know, there are no losses, there's only lessons. So anytime something doesn't go quote unquote the way I think it should go, the way I think it should go.
Thanks.
Because everything's happening exactly the way it's supposed to go.
Yes.
So so I'm like, okay, well, what's this teaching me? What's this teaching me? So you know, where's the lesson in this? What do we need to learn within our own personal journey to evolve to
Yes.
the next level? So you know, once again, going back to my favorite quote, life is not happening to you, it's happening for you. And we need all of these bumps along the way to help build us to be the characters that we are. You are walking in the path of being, you know, a coach in the area of forgiveness, of being a coach in this place. You would not be in this place if you didn't have your story.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had to learn from what I went through. Otherwise, I'm just gonna be talking to my behind. Somebody can definitely spot a faker. So you have to been through something and learn from it to know what you're talking about. That's just called wisdom. It's called wisdom and it's called being accountable. You have to learn through whatever decision you make, because in life we can't go around believing everything is going to be rainbows and sunshines, because then how are we going to know how to do anything? If everything is given to you, you're going to feel privileged. That's how life's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to go through something and learn from it and be enlightened. I use the word enlightenment. In order to have that space of enlightenment, there's things that you have to learn. You have to learn and adapt. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, one of my, I'm a quote girl. So one of my other favorite quotes, and this one I may jack up a little bit, but you'll get the gist of it, is that, you know, you don't get become a skillful sailor with smooth seas.
That's for certain.
Yeah.
That is definitely
So,
for
like,
certain.
you gotta have it. Like, what if life is always smooth sailing, like, how are you gonna become skillful? You're not skillful. You just had
Yeah.
smooth seas your whole life. So, you know, so I want somebody that's been through the storms, been through the trenches. Like, oh, you was able to sail that boat through a hurricane, through a
Yeah.
hurricane. Well, not a tornado, but hurricane, all
Yeah.
that stuff. But like, you know, that's where the juice is at. the juices through, through the thing, So like I say, pull the lessons, because otherwise, if you don't pull the lesson, guess what's gonna happen? It's gonna keep repeating. It's gonna keep repeating.
I had to learn that the hard way. I have a best friend that questioned why things happened to her over and over again. And I said, you have to look at the theme. What theme is presenting itself every time a situation happens? That's what I do. Every time something happens, it's like, again, what is it? Okay, I thought I learned the lesson, but apparently I didn't. So what is it truly trying to tell me so I won't have to happen this again? I at this point in my life, I welcome challenges because it's like, all right, I already faced so many. Why not another one? Why 101? I'm ready to face any challenge because I know on the other side of that challenge, I want to learn something. I want wisdom. And in order for me to help everyone, I have to gain that wisdom. I can't just talk out of my behind and say it's going to happen. Well, did you go through it? No, I ain't go through it, but I know you'll be okay. I'm not following nobody like that, and I don't want nobody else to follow individuals like that say do this, and you didn't even go through anything. You don't have a testimony. You don't got scars to prove nothing of anything, and you're trying to mentor me on resilience or mentor me in empowerment, and you haven't even dealt with anything like that. So at this point, I'm like, I welcome those challenges, and if I got to be the only one to get that bull by the horn to teach someone else that it's okay to grab that bull by the horn, then hey, the bull can't bite me unless I'm in front of it, and I'm gonna ride it. I'm gonna ride all challenges and see what how far I can go.
It's amazing. That's like, it's a beautiful that you decided to take your story to help others. So when you're helping someone, and like I said, it's so beautiful that you were enlightened so early on. And but a lot of people really spend decades dying, going to their graves, not forgiving, holding on to these grudges, hatred, and so on. What advice do you have for this person? Things don't happen overnight. It's, yes, sometimes it's like, oh, whoop, I had the light bulb moment. But, when this has been an ongoing pattern for 42 years, and it's just like the running language. And like I said, with me, this woman said this to me 13 years ago, but now it's just like, oh, the light bulb, like, wow, she really did tell me. I didn't have the light bulb at that moment. I kept on putting myself down for another decade, probably. But now I still have to work on it every day. I still, that's why, I talk a lot about affirmations. I made an affirmation tea line and things like that, because, that's the medicine that
Important.
I have to constantly remind myself, and I'm able to pull the bull by the horn, like when I, because now I'm aware of it. Now I know, like, oh, wait a minute. No. We're not doing that today. We're not going there today. I can pull it by. But, what advice do you have that for that person that just it's just they just seem to having struggled to get there?
Most of the time, we don't let go of fear, and this is just based on me talking and coaching others. It's because of fear. I forgive them. That means I'm okay with what they did. I'm letting them know that it was okay. And a fear and forgiveness is not about letting anything go. In terms of relinquishing them of how much pain they caused you. When I coach and I do get that. How do I forgive? And there's one question I ask. Do you want to be happy? Do you want your peace? If you want your peace, how much of that do you truly want to work towards? And if forgiveness is one of those things that's stopping you, then you have to ask yourself, how bad do you want your peace? And I ask that all the time because then that puts the person in the realm and challenge them. Well, I do want my peace. Well, what are you going to do to get it? If I understand that you, for me, it was hard with forgiving my father for what he did. It was extremely hard. How do I forgive a man who took my innocence? It was hard to forgive him. What do you start to do that? Because I felt that if I forgive him, that means that he's okay with what's going on. Now that I'm in the spiritual realm, I believe in karma. I can't be the judge, jury, and executioner. And me forgiving has nothing to do with that individual. If you want your peace and you have to forgive. It's not easy to forgive, but it's a work in progress. You have to start somewhere. Otherwise, you're going to keep chaining yourself up and you're going to die on ulcers or whatever the case may be because your negativity, it's like a feeding a plant dirty water. The plant is never going to grow if you don't give it clean water. So if you don't help yourself, and the thing is, I can't help when I'm coaching. I can't say you have to forgive and it's going to be done. You have to go through that process yourself. And it could be maybe you need closure. Maybe there's something in that forgiveness. Maybe it's not just forgiveness. Maybe there's something in that forgiveness that you feel as though you missed out. One of them, like I said, is closure. Maybe if I talk to the individual or if I come to terms with it, sometimes we don't come to terms with what happened. We're still repeating like it was yesterday. And how can we forgive if we keep repeating that same thought like it was yesterday? We're not going to be able to do that. So I encourage anyone who's seeking out forgiveness is if you have to cry, whatever you have to do to get to that point, you have to ask yourself that. What would it take for me to forgive? And if the answer is nothing, I would urge you to look deeper, because everyone deserves for forgiveness. And one thing that helped me forgive my mom is that, like I said before, I'm deserving of forgiveness. I don't want anyone to feel like they can't forgive me. So I lean with that every time I coach, because it changed them. What happened 5 years ago, a year ago, it changed them, chain them to that moment. And it's not a healthy thing. And I feel sad for those that I coach that can't overcome that. And you don't have to overcome it overnight. It's just something happened to you 10, 15 years ago. At what point are you going to come to terms with that? That's where forgiveness starts from. You have to come to terms with it. Otherwise, you can't forgive. You can't forgive something that you don't want to come to terms with. I know the pain hurts. I get it. I go through pain every day, but that pain is going to chain you down. And if you don't come to terms with that pain, cry, curse, whatever you got to do, scream, I don't know, go swimming, whatever it is, but you have to find what would make that pain go away. Therapy, maybe. I know some that went to therapy and had to talk it out with someone else that was a complete stranger just so they can vent it out how they felt they needed to vent it out, and they felt better at the end of the day. Maybe it's talking to them and going off on them, whatever the case may be, but you have to come to terms with it and see what type of reality you want to live in when it comes to forgiveness. It's not easy, but it is a necessity when it comes to your mental health.
It's something so powerful you said at the very beginning, and that was, do you want to be happy? Do you want peace? So, that is a question that we have to ask ourselves, because the non-forgiveness is a piece of the puzzle that may be holding us back from getting to that place. Not saying forgiveness is the only part that's going to make you peaceful or happy, but
The
it
start.
is definitely a piece of it. So if you want peace, if you want happiness, you come to terms with that, and then make the decision to be the bigger person. And another thing that you said, and I meant to mention it earlier when you spoke of, like, you forgive your mother and you moved on with the relationship, but your father, you forgive him, but you're not moving on with the relationship. So the instant you said that, I thought of boundaries. So that's another beautiful part about forgiveness, is that you can forgive someone and still hold boundaries. You don't have to be their best friend. You don't have to say, I love you every day. That doesn't, but forgiveness is, it's key in understanding that we have the authority to put boundaries in place. Like, okay, I forgive you, I'm moving forward, but you're not coming with me
I'm going.
when I'm moving forward. So that was key. I mean, just some key notes. So it's like, do you want your peace and happiness? Understanding that, along with forgiveness, it's okay to have boundaries. Throughout the conversation today, you didn't say shadow work, but you said you had to face it. And that everyone may have different terminologies for it, but understanding your shadow work, understanding facing the dark side that you don't want to face. Your shadow is hanging out with you. And then when you do see it, it's a darker version. So understanding that we all have shadows. No one's walking out here, as we mentioned in this podcast, perfect. So understanding that, okay, let's come face to face with this, and love on that shadow. And then, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, I need to change you. Just like, psychiatrists or whoever, people that you may have spoken to in the past may have wanted to change you to what the version that they wanted you to be, but you have to acknowledge it and bring understanding to it. And then also, another piece that I talk a lot about, especially, is being able to hold grace for yourself. you know. And I have to, you know, as I say, you know, I'm aware of, you know, maybe the talk I may be having with myself, but I'm aware of it and I'm holding grace for myself. And I'm able to say, no, we're going to turn that around. Nope, it's going in this direction. So being aware of it and having grace for yourself. So as we are on our journeys and doing whatever we're doing through the work of forgiveness, it's not a 1, 2, 3, but having grace for yourself. So if one day the emotions are a little bit different than they were yesterday, hold grace for yourself, be aware of it, and then let's see how we can redirect it. You know, just like when you're in your navigation, you may make a wrong turn, and what does it do? It says it makes the circle redirect. That's rerouting. Rerouting, it quickly takes a whole wheel and knows that you went the wrong direction. And that's the same that we need to do for ourselves. Understand within this journey of whatever we're going through, but the topic of today is forgiveness. And understand when we're on that journey of forgiveness, it's okay. If we do go the wrong turn, we have the authority, within ourselves to reroute it. So like I said, I am beyond grateful to have this conversation because it's very well needed for many of us to evolve, many of us to move forward with peace and the happiness within ourselves, and so on. There was a question I wanted to ask you at the beginning, but I felt like we just went full throttle. I want to know, what are you grateful for today?
What am I grateful for? Many things. I have two babies. I have well, one is 8 and the other one is 2. I'm grateful for them. They came in my life when I needed them to, and the universe knows exactly what I'm talking about. They came in my life during two of my biggest moments that I needed hope. And my daughter's middle name is Hope. they challenged me to become better than I thought I was. I take great pride in me, my growth. I take great pride in my growth. But one thing I take great pride in is my kids. I'm very grateful for them because without them coming when they came, I don't know if I would still be here speaking about forgiveness. I'm also grateful for the relationship me and my mom had, came a long way. I'm grateful for that because I have someone that's officially in my corner that supports me and loves me the way I should be, not the way that she believed that it was needed during that time. And I'm also grateful for myself for bringing myself through this way when I know similar situations that other ones had to face, they can't speak about their story anymore because of drugs, addiction, or suicide. So I am grateful for living to tell my story because I know and I put it out there that my story will change someone. And I'm grateful that I can look back at my story with a smile, knowing that I made it and that I can teach my kids what it looks like to have resilience. And I'm grateful for having these opportunities and these moments, whatever how much moments I have left. I'm grateful for that because I know I'm going to plant a seed within my kids, and I'm prophesizing that I'm going to plant a seed with somebody else. And it only take one human at a time for this world to become utopia. And I'm grateful for that. And it's only up from here.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing, you know, your gratitude with us today. As we start to close out this podcast, the light is shining on your face. So those that are watching visually, we get to see the light on your face. You know, it's someone's listening and they say, oh, you know, I want to get in contact with this woman. You know, I want to talk. I want to hear more about her story. I want to hear how she can redirect me into some forgiveness. What does, you know, a coaching session look like with you, and what can someone expect from you, and so on? What do we need to know about you?
Yeah, so you can follow me on my social medias. Facebook is Phoenix by Yanez Mead. TikTok and Instagram is Relentless Phoenix 00. The 00 stands for affinity sign that we always begin and never ending. And If you want to know more about any coaching, I have a website, yahnesnee.com, YahnesNeeD.com, where you can inquire about it. You will get first come first service get first time service get a free 10 to 15 minute coaching session with me to see how I can help you or give you some tips and tricks to take with you for those 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, so that's beautiful. You have like a discovery call option so they can see if you guys are a mesh, you know?
Yes, free discovery call. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so this was amazing. Like I said, I'm just beyond grateful to have this conversation in the airways about forgiveness because we all need to vibrate to our highest potential, and a lot of gunk, you know, is holding a lot of us down, and part of that gunk is forgiveness. Thank you, but I'm not letting you go yet.
No problem.
Yeah, because you got to let everybody know what does becoming unique mean to you.
Becoming unique. It's becoming your true authentic self in the simplest form possible, without any materialistic titles associated with you. Becoming unique is being who you truly are meant to be, and that is having purpose and intent in this world to make a difference. That's what becoming unique is.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. You are amazing.
You're welcome. You're welcome.